No guards, no masters, only helpful advice.
It's Red Dead Redemption with Auckland Union Representative Justine Sachs.
Morena, Justine, how are you doing today?
Morena, Rachel. I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Enjoyed catching up with some mates over the weekend, which I'm sure a lot of us have been missing as well. But the traffic lights do mean a bit of employment queries from the listeners. So let's get stuck into it. The first one just came through from someone who wants to know, could you please ask Justine to confirm if this is correct? If an employee doesn't want to get vaccinated, they can be dismissed and paid 4 weeks from an employer. They then can access 80% wages from the government COVID recovery fund for up to 12 months. Now, I presume this is from a workplace where there is a vaccine mandate, first of all, but do you know any more about this particular situation?
This question did just come through, so what I might do is I'm going to say what I know, and maybe we can return to it next week.
Cool.
Just so I can validate some aspects of it. But so if there is a vaccine mandate at a workplace, the employer is required to pay the employee 4 weeks notice. There's also no stand down period to access WINS, but I have to say I don't think it's correct, and I would be very, very, very surprised to hear that employees could still access 80% of their wages from the COVID recovery fund. I don't think that that's correct. The government pointed out that there's no stand down period to go on WINS if you have been dismissed because of a vaccine mandate, and I think that indicates to me that that's what is happening. So
okay.
No, I don't think that's correct, but I will I'll make sure of that, though. That sounds a bit far-fetched to me, to
cool.
be honest.
We will touch back on that one then, but hopefully that's given you a little bit of info there, Texter.
I'll just emphasize, though, that 4 weeks of notice must be given.
Yes.
4 weeks notice, yeah.
Totally. Okay, we've had someone say, I teach at a kids' dance school and my manager asks me to buy the kids' costumes out of my own pocket. She then gets me to wait for the kids' parents to pay me back. I've kind of accepted it for a while because I've worked there for years and it's a family-like business, but recently I've been feeling real sus about it. Sometimes I've had to spend hundreds of dollars and some parents haven't paid me back. I feel awkward about bringing it up, but I'm really sick of it. Okay, what should this person be thinking about doing here?
This is really sus because your employer, you know, as much as it's a, you know, and small business owners do tend to kind of be like, it's like a family here. It's like, no, we still have an employment relationship. So let's I think that sometimes can be an excuse to take advantage of people at times. Like, I'm not saying that you don't have a good relationship with your boss, but that's real sus because it's not fair. You know, if you're coming out of your own money and there's delays in getting that back to you, you can incur, like, fees, say if you're an overdraft, and things like that. So it is a disadvantage to you, even if it's just that, oh, you had to pay this out and then you couldn't go out on Saturday, right? Because you didn't have enough money.
Yep.
Not cool, not fair.
No.
And you shouldn't be paying business expenses out of your own personal money, and then there's unreasonable delays in that being repaid to you. If I were you, dear texter, I would plead poverty, actually, and just be like, I actually can't afford it, sorry. Mm. So they need to come up with a more robust process. They cannot expect you to front that, yeah. No,
totally.
I would absolutely not be doing that. And then to also, you know, you are waiting for the parents. I mean, like all the responsibility falls on you. Literally, all the responsibility, all the pitfalls, all the inconvenience fall on you. Their business, they're making a profit. Not cool, not fair, no.
Yeah, no, that seems absolutely like kind of a clear-cut situation that you shouldn't have to do that. Totally.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, what else have we got here, Zoe?
This person says, hey, Justine, my hospo boss has ghosted me and stopped putting me on the roster. We had a little argument, which I thought had been resolved, and I thought it was going to be fine, but I haven't been given a shift in nearly 3 weeks. He's done this with other people before. Do you know what I should do? I do kind of want to leave the job, but I'm scared of it taking a while to find a new one, and I need the money.
So this happens often, right?
It does. I was going to say, this isn't the first time we've had a sort of a text like this out there.
Yeah. I guess I just want to make this clear because I think the only way we're going to change situations like this is if we call it what it is, which is, like, basically when people treat casuals like this, and I say casuals with, like, air quotes because I associate I've always been of the, you know, I'm always saying casuals are not really casuals. If you work a pattern of shift, you're not really a casual. Basically, it's actually against the law, you know. That's unjustified firing, actually. That your employer is taking advantage of the loopholes in employment law and the way we treat casuals to unjustifiably, like, basically at least disadvantage you at work. But basically, yeah, take away your income. And that is completely fucked. I'm just going to be honest. So if you have worked the same set of hours for, say, you've worked more than 6 months, your employer, your boss cannot just do that. And I'm like, if you were in a union, what I would be doing is I'd be writing a very firmly worded letter basically being like, hey, you've broken the law. Let's get you back on the roster. I mean, I don't know if you call the Young Workers Resource Center, which is a, if you're not in a union, maybe give them a ring. Because I think that likely the hospital boss doesn't even know that he's not allowed to do that.
Totally. It's such an indentured part of the culture there. So yeah,
exactly, right? And so, yeah, if you've been working that same pattern for, like, over 6 months, that is, like, you have good legal standing, say that you've actually, like, been disadvantaged at work or even dismissed, right? So he needs to give you those hours back. But I know that that's easier said than done. And because you're casual, you know, it is really hard to get justice. So, like, you know, the option is, like, you could file a personal grievance. So a personal grievance is filed. Then this is why you kind of do need, I would say you would need some support from either a union or the Young Workers Resource Center or even an employment lawyer, but it's not like we can afford employment lawyers.
Yeah,
but you can file a personal grievance with the Ministry of Business, Innovation and Employment. And, you know, there are a lot of templates online on how to do it. But basically, the personal grievance is that you've actually been disadvantaged at work. Because you've been working a certain pattern and suddenly that's been taken away from you because your boss, I don't know, is grumpy at you. What nonsense is that?
It's not a reason to fire somebody. No. Okay, that's good to know. So we'll put, for anyone tuned in or that texter as well, we will put those links in the podcast after the show as we always do. So if you aren't unionised and you need some support there, we will give you the access to those spaces. We have got a question about unionising, actually, that someone's texted in, which we'll get to in a minute. But someone wants to know, my work doesn't really have a comprehensive COVID plan or a mandate. Who should I go to talk about it? That feels like a very topical one at the moment for a lot of people out there.
It's absolutely first protocol. If you've got a health and safety rep, you should go to your health and safety rep because they're the person that should be advocating and being involved in making up those plans. If not your direct line manager, if they don't respond, the person above them, you have a right to be safe at work. If there's no plan, if there's no... So even when there's not a mandate...
There should be a plan,
Yeah, there should be a plan. But even if there's not a mandate, the employers do have to do a risk assessment for unvaccinated workers. So they have to do individual risk assessments. So every single person who's not vaccinated in a workplace, the employer will have to do a risk assessment. Like, what's the risk here? And so even if there's not a mandate, there will be places where it's like, actually, there's too much of a risk. It's not safe for this person to return to work as they're not vaccinated. So it doesn't necessarily have to be a mandate. Well, it's to mean that, you know, unvaccinated, I know that sounds, it's kind of a roundabout way of having a mandate, to be honest. A lot of employers are, going down the individual risk assessment route because they, you know, for, like, their businesses are, there's risk, like, for whatever reason. Say you work at a supermarket, right, where there's no requirement for customers to be vaccinated. There's more risk being unvaccinated as a supermarket worker than an office job where you're working from home, etc. So, not cool. You have a right to be safe at work. You actually have a right to refuse unsafe work, which I'm not saying you should do that, especially if you're not in a unionized job. But it is something you might remind your employer about.
It's in your back pocket if you need it,
If they're kind of like messing around and not keeping you safe, you have a right to be safe at work. And the stakes are high, right?
It is, exactly. Speaking of unionising, we have got a question from someone who says they are working in HOSPO, 19 years old, not studying or anything like that. What's the question we've got here, Zoe?
Yeah, and they say, considering how little I get paid, why should I bother joining a union? How will that benefit me in the long run? And they also said that the hours got cut recently, which is why they're suddenly thinking about it.
Well, when your hours get cut and you're in a unionized job. Well, actually, no. To be honest, your hours don't get cut unilaterally when you're in a unionized job, because that is something that often happens to non-unionized workers, right?
Yes.
In unionized jobs, you have your hours set in your contract, and if anything happens, you can call the union, and it's very unlikely that the boss would take a chance like that, because unions also employ lawyers. They'll go to court to ensure that employers are compliant. But let's make it about money. Unionized workers make on average 18% more than non-unionized workers.
Wow.
And the more unionized the workforce is, the wages go up. So literally, so that's 18%, and we've only got, I think in the private sector, around 15%, even if it might be less, of workers unionized, and they earn about 18% more. So why should you join a union? Well, it's actually about making an investment. Let's talk like business people. It's about making an investment in your future. Those dues that you pay, and you know, when you unionize your workplace, that's actually about you saying, I want to earn more money. I deserve more money. You're not going to get more. Look, individual negotiations just don't deliver for workers. That's, we've got 40 years of real life examples of that. Wages have gone down as workplaces have become, as unions, you know, were smashed in the 90s, and and workplaces were de-unionized. So we've got nothing left to lose, to be honest. Like, you know, as how I see it. You know, we're not going to magic up better wages. Like, we actually need to fight for it, and especially in hospital and retail. These are, like, you know, I think hospital and retail workers are especially vulnerable because they're de-unionized. If you go and talk to a public service worker, it's a whole different world. Public service workers are about 90% unionized, okay? There's a reason for that. There's a reason it's a whole different world, and it's not because it's just they have nice bosses. It's because they've got power in the workplace, okay?
They do, yeah.
So hopefully that's convinced you, dear texter.
And as per usual, when we get a text like this, where's the place to go to find out who your union is, Justine?
You go to the Council of Trade Unions, and you can go through all sorts of industry sectors and jobs, and they'll tell you what your correct union is. And a lot of people, and you know, there are like some industries that are starting up unions specific to their industry. So we've got recently the Young Aotearoa Legal Workers Union have started up, and they represent young legal workers, not only young legal workers, actually just legal workers. So you know, I think a lot more of people our generation are thinking about how important this is, actually, because we're just not seeing, well, we're seeing like the results of what when we don't have unions, right?
Totally.
So,
yeah, absolutely. Well, solidarity forever. Nice absolutely. To talk to you, Justine.
Cheers.
And we will talk to you again in a couple of weeks. We will touch base back on some of those questions, and if anyone's got any other ones, text them through. Have a good week. We'll see you soon.
Ta-da, bye.
Yeah. Take that, the man.
Red Dead Redemption with Auckland Union representative Justine Sachs.
Thank you, Justine.